Dreaming the dream. We all have dreams, don't we? Our story this morning was taken from our Jewish source. The Hebrews had a dream that they wanted to be a free people. They longed to be in the land of milk and honey, and the Exodus took 40 years to complete. They did not always behave themselves well. There were mutinies and false idols and arguments and fear and... Sounds a little like a congregation, doesn't it? The Hebrews considered themselves a chosen people, and by being chosen, being pretty special, but they were still simply people. Being chosen didn't change that for them. We UUs do not usually consider ourselves the chosen people, but we do consider ourselves people, and like the Hebrews, we do have things that we long for. It is an interesting thing how we might long for something. Dreams can orient you and give you a direction. Someone who longs to be or dreams to be a doctor has a pretty good understanding of what they need to do to get there. And dreams can be hard to follow, especially in this day and age. I know many young adults who have some entrepreneurial dreams and they're working hard, and yet that path is not clearly laid out for them. Even the Hebrews at one point in the desert journey complained to Moses that it would have been better if they had died in Egypt than to starve in the desert. It is hard to follow one's dreams. This morning, I want to talk to you about our congregation and our dreams and how we can make them real. Some churches long for that time a ways back, always referred to as the golden age. Around here, that might have been the time during David Blanchard's ministry when we had grown to a size where we almost needed to move to two Sunday services. There were just so many people here on a Sunday, there were not enough seats. Or perhaps it was during the era of Dr. Riemann, who was the pastor when this building was built and our congregation moved here from downtown. Or perhaps it was the era of the maple sugar dinners. The golden age is actually different for different people. It might be tied to a particular minister, a particular small group, or a particular activity. Some of us dream of a time when this congregation will be great again. And again, this might be different for each of us. Maybe it will be when we have a children's education ministry that is busting at the seams, when we have too many volunteers in the religious ed classes. Maybe it will be when the choir is so overflowing we have to rearrange the chancel in some way. Maybe it will be when we have a Black Lives Matter banner on our church and we are regularly known for our justice work in the community. But here's what I'd like to say. We are already great. For those of you who have been here 10 years or more, think about where this congregation was 10 years ago. This congregation was in the middle of a big conflict. People had left this place and it was hard to be here. And blessings to all of you who stayed and loved this place into what it is today. We have a booming junior high group at 14 strong. We have an even larger senior high group, something like 30 members. Those two programs are collaborative with May Memorial, and others in the UU world look to our collaboration as cutting edge. Cutting edge in Syracuse, New York. Our Sunday attendance numbers are up. We have a new website. We have a Black Lives Matter study group. We routinely are helping and working with the Eastern farm workers. Did you know that twice a year they are able to use our building for a medical clinic here to help the people we work with? We are able to extend them that space at no charge and that makes it possible for them to do it. We have shown up at our local mosque, at the Gay Pride Parade, at the Westcott Festival, at the State Fair. We have members who mentor kids who are struggling, others who help adults learn to read. The congregation is considering moving from having me hired by the Board of Trustees to having me called by the congregation. We will have a student intern minister next year. We have a new roof and are looking at how to get some other much needed repairs done. We are home to an increased number of renters who would be hard pressed to find another place that they could afford. We hold leadership, some members of our congregation hold leadership positions in our district and on the national level of our church. Our members care for one another. Quietly and behind the scenes, phone calls are made, casseroles are dropped off, rides are given, cards are sent. We care for one another. We are a safety net for each other. It is fairly common for me to run into someone I know who is not a member or a participant here who says, "Oh yeah, you're the pastor at First now, aren't you? I'm hearing a lot of good things about that place." So these are not the happenings of a congregation that might be great again. These are the happenings of a congregation that is already great. But we still have dreams, don't we? Our Canvas theme this year is Dream a Big Dream. The Canvas team chose that because they think we have the capacity to dream big. And they know big dreams have impact. And this morning is our kickoff for our Canvas, our fundraising drive. So when I was writing this sermon, at this point in my writing process, I thought it would be good to go look for a funny story about raising money. Because talking about raising money makes people anxious. At least it makes me anxious. And I thought it might be good to lighten the mood. And you can find all sorts of things on Google, right? So what I first found was a lot of articles from more traditional churches about how much you should give and the fact that you should tithe, which means to give 10%. It was disquieting for me because clearly there was a theology that I could not agree with. The more you give, the more likely you are to get into heaven. But you see, we're universalists. If there is a heaven, then we believe that everyone gets in, no matter how much or how little one gives to their church. We believe in the inherent worth and dignity of each human being. Your value and my value is not increased one iota if you increase your pledge. So as a Unitarian Universalist minister, I can't bribe you into increasing your pledge. I can't guilt you into increasing your pledge. I'm left with begging, but that never works, so I'm not going there. I did, however, find one story about a novel fundraising strategy. So evidently, there was a minister who one Sunday morning told his congregation that the church needed extra money and asked the people to prayerfully consider giving a little extra in the offering plate that morning. And he said that whoever gave the most would be able to pick out three hymns. After the offering plate was passed and the minister glanced down, he noticed that someone had put a $1,000 bill in the offering. He was so excited that he immediately shared his joy with the congregation, and he said that he would like to personally thank the person who had placed the money in the plate. A very quiet, stately, older woman, all the way in the back, shyly raised her hand, and the minister asked her to come up front. Slowly, she made her way to the minister. He thanked her and told her how wonderful it was that she gave so much, and in thanksgiving, asked her to pick out three hymns. Her eyes brightened as she looked over the congregation, and she pointed at the three handsomest men in the congregation and said, "I'll take him and him and him." And that probably wouldn't be a very good fundraising strategy either. What I can do, plain and simple, is make the case to you why it is a good idea to pledge and how it can help us achieve our dreams. Imagine that you are offered a job and it's one that you would really like to have. So you're excited when the offer is made and you reasonably ask how much you will be paid. And the answer is, they don't know. You will just have to trust that you will get paid. That's the first reason to make a pledge, because it helps the church know how much money is coming in and therefore how much money we have to spend. A pledge is simply a promise to make a financial gift to this congregation over the course of a year. What size the pledge is your decision. We ask you to think what this place means to you and compare that with what money you have and make a pledge where those two things intersect. This year, we are enlarging our dream. We have set a big goal. We would like to receive pledges totaling $111,111.11. We thought we'd go with an easy-to-remember number. In order to reach that, we have folks who have not pledged, who we would like to see start pledging. And we need folks who have pledged to increase their pledges if they can. Our Canvas team will reach out to each of you and invite you to a house party where you can learn more about pledging and our church and our programs and what we are doing, and then you can make a pledge. So what I want to talk to you about here is what dreams could we reach if we had $111,111.11 in pledges. We could fund our music program a little bit better. I heard a lot of good things about Merry Mischief last week, and everyone seems to love Dan and Peggy at the Christmas Eve service. But it's an interesting thing. Guest musicians have to eat also, and they cost money. We could increase our support to Religious Ed. Lifespan Faith Development Supplies is budgeted at $950 a year. We have about 45 children registered, so that works out to about $21 per child or youth. I would bet that our children and youth are worth a little bit more than that. We could increase Tina's hours so that she's paid for what she actually works, and so that she and Christine Smith, the chair of the Lifespan Faith Development Committee, could offer more opportunities for adults. One of them is already happening, and it's been amazingly successful. Claudia Claver has been leading our Black Lives Matter discussion group that has pulled folks from outside the congregation into it. I go out into the community, and people talk to me about that study group. What other kinds of study groups or adult experiences could we have? What would happen if we could strengthen our small group ministry, our chalice circles, and make those more congregation-wide? What if we raised enough money that we could afford to offer some space here for a support group for transgender youth at no charge? What if we raised enough money that this building could become not just a meeting place for us, but a place where folks could come and find safety and respite from this world of troubles? What if we raised enough money to sponsor a refugee family or partner with a church on the near west side or south side to do our part in helping to improve Syracuse? You heard this morning from Dennis how this place has had a positive impact on him and his family. Over the next few weeks, you will hear more folks talk about what this community means to them. You will hear how we have changed people's lives. Our theme this month is liberation. Much of our justice work, much of our spiritual work, is about liberating folks. So many folks who come through this door and stay do so because they have found a faith and a community that could affirm them and accept them. How can we make that more accessible to folk? I don't want us raising money so that we can go back to our greatness that was. I want us to raise money so that we can build on our greatness that already is. We have been working with a bare bones budget for too long. I want us to continue to be a place where folks are welcomed and free and even encouraged to question, to ponder, to explore what it means to be a person of integrity and morals. I want to be that for our children also. I want us to teach our children and our adults what it means to be a compassionate person of integrity. I want our folks to take that compassion out into the world. I want to see that compassion ripple out into our community beyond these walls. It is a big dream, but we can make it happen. In a world without end, may this be so.